I'm going to say a bit about the costs that are associated with everything you do. All the activities that you undertake in order to make sure that you sort of get the best out of the whole process. So we're talking about everything that has got to do with contracts. We're not talking about the direct purchases. We're talking about everything that uses written agreements between two parties. And then the basic question is, how much do you invest in procurement? You could say, well, as long as I am doing things according to the law and to the voorschriften, I do not end up in COFA. You will not meet Finn again. So that is one way of looking at it. And we discussed that also in the first workshop. That is procurement with a very low level of ambition. What we have chosen in the project is to say, no, it has to be good to do the good things, not just the things that are legally okay, but the minimal things, but you have to do the good things. And this is what we have used so far in the project to sort of define what the basic goals are of the type of procurement, with the level of ambition that we think is important. It's very nice to know what you should do, but then again, the question pops in, how much costs can you make in order to go for all these nice things, to create value within your organization, to serve the three sustainability dimensions. We want to focus on what is actually smart in that sense. How much do you invest in procurement? Basically, that is a cost-benefit analysis. And what you could say is that traditionally, the focus has always been on how much do you pay for the contract? What is the amount that is involved in the contract? And you sort of test that based on the quality of what you get. That is something that also Finn mentioned yesterday. That has been the overriding way of looking at procurement for a very long time. But now we want something different. We also want to go for other things, like the things that were shown in the definition. When we focus on food and catering, it's about the experience you have when you eat food. It's about the pleasure you get out of it. It's about using food for educational purposes, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, you have the sustainability externally in society, environment, economics, and social. So we have a more complicated picture than the traditional approach suggests, where you just look at price quality, then you go for the one that's gives the most quality at the lowest price. Another thing that you have to include are what you could call transaction costs. And these are the costs that are actually associated with all the work that you do. With, for instance, having a dialogue with suppliers or looking at follow-up on contracts, which we will discuss after lunch. So that's important to also look at. Basically, the idea is that you have a much more complicated picture of costs and benefits of procurement than we traditionally assume. What are the costs? What's the price of the contracts? Then these transaction costs. The price of the contract is something that we can, of course, see. And that's also true for a large part of the transaction costs that you make, because basically that is the salaries of the people that work on procurement. So they come back in budgets and in leadership of the organizations as operational costs for procurement. Of course, you have to realize that if you look at the whole procurement process, you're not the only one that makes costs. Also, the suppliers have to make costs in order to get a contract and to execute the contract beyond what they get for the actual supply. So that also means that you have to look at how these costs are divided across the two parties. For instance, if you think about the use of meritwaarde that you mentioned this morning, that's a very efficient way to sort of reduce the transaction costs for both parties. If the supplier could say, hey, I have this certification as a purchaser, you took it. Certification is there, and you don't have to go into the details in every case. But this is something that, by and large, is visible. The problem is that if you look at the benefit side, it's not so visible, less visible. Well, it should be visible, but it's hard to measure in terms of money. Still, there's something that we can say about that. We can say something about what should be, in a theoretical sense, the optimal amount of effort that you make. Let's say something about time and effort. How much do you invest in the earlier phases, and how much do you invest later? I want to say something about how we deal with different lengths of contracts. Again, we have these transaction costs linked to everything you do throughout the whole process. But we also have what we call failure costs, foul costs now. What are failure costs? If you have certain goals that you want to reach with the procurement, and you do not reach them, you fail. That's going to cost. Say, you know, we want to go for mud blader, and it turns out that it's not much mud blader we had from stuff that you have procured, then you have a loss. That's what we call failure cost. So the idea is that you will always have some failure costs. Nobody is perfect. No system is perfect. On the other hand, if you do nothing, you know for sure that you will fail. And then the idea is that you have these costs, the cost of the effort, and you have the cost of failure. And then the question is, are they somewhat related, and can we sort of say there is an optimum? In a theoretical sense, we can. Sometimes this is very hard to measure, but just to get the idea, picture, scare away some of you, but you know, this is how economists think. Here you have the procurement effort, low in ambition. And you can work very hard, try everything. Of course, if you have a low level of ambition, you have low procurement effort costs. If you are very ambitious, procurement costs, the transaction costs go up. If you're not so ambitious, you will have high failure costs. If you're very ambitious, you will reach a lot of the goals you want, and you have low failure costs. And the idea is that if you add the two things up, and that is this curve, and you go for where the total costs are the lowest, then you're smart. You don't have to be here. You don't have to be in a 100% perfect. So it would not be smart to do that. But this is also not smart. You have to be somewhere here. This is a certain type of reasoning that you can use. What we can see if you use this type of graph is that the more ambitious you are in terms of all the goals that you want to reach, the more you should go to this part of the the more ambitious you are, the more failure costs you will have. So that means that the initial curve here will run like this. You will have a total cost curve, and you can see that the optimum is moved there. Another thing that you can see is that if you are very efficient in what you do, you do a lot, but very little costs. Or the other way around, if you're not so efficient in your procurement efforts, that moves the curve to the other side. And then the procurement costs increase, you get a new total cost curve, and the optimum is there. This is very theoretical, but the idea is that you have to find this sort of optimum of how much effort do I put in the procurement, and what does it mean in terms of preventing failure? That is the basic idea. What you can also use this graph for is to show how stupid it is to do what has happened in some of the municipalities that participated in the project. That is to say, you should not have more than that level of procurement efforts, because we do not want to pay more to the Inship Afdeling than that and that and that, because we want to cut on the operational costs of the municipality. What happens then is that you sort of say, this is it. You have a low level of procurement costs, but you have a very high level of failure costs. What you can see is that actually this is the loss that is the result of that kind of government activity. It may seem smart to do that, but costs, so we're more efficient. Actually, the result is that you're not, that you will have more failure costs. You will not get out of your procurement what you could have got out of the procurement. But this is what we can use to say something about the overall effort. And we also say something about how this is linked to time. This is DFE. But they basically have a similar curve for the procurement cost over time, showing all the different phases. I've included some more detail on this one, in line with what we just discussed, actually, that talking about getting an idea of what you need before you actually get into making the strategy. But that is something that should be based on dialogue with the market. It should also be based on some sort of an internal dialogue. Maybe you should start with that in order to define the need. So the market dialogue is more about coverage of the need. The internal dialogue is much more about establishing the need itself. Of course, they are related. It's an iterative process. You talk among yourselves, then you talk with the suppliers, and then you get better ideas and so on and so on. But the idea is you focus too much on this, and you will end up with the solutions that the suppliers come up with. It may not be the solutions to that you have. It's very market driven if you only focus on having a market dialogue. The idea is to start here. And then the idea of this picture that is here, the dark line, is that the impact of the different activities on how successful you are is larger in the earlier phases than in the final phases. And this is something that came also back, I think, yesterday, when it was mentioned, okay, if we sort of do something wrong in terms of the requirements, the graph that we put in place, it's very difficult to repair that in a later stage. If you have not done this in a proper way, then drugsvervolging is maybe not so relevant anymore. So the better you take care of the things here in the earlier stages, the more impact it will have on your overall. And then the third thing that we can say in 2 minutes on the length of the contract. This is very much linked to this idea of transaction costs. What you very often hear is that people say, okay, let's go for the 4-year full period of Dalen, and then we can sit back and we can wait until 4 years from then when we have to make a new one. But you have to keep in mind that if you are focusing on things like sustainability, that the market develops. So the state of the art in terms of, let's say, the technology in terms of sustainability of the suppliers will develop. It will become better and better and better. If you pick a contract at this point and you set the requirements, what we will use for the next 4 years, then that is more or less set, and you will lose out on the development in the market. If you have shorter periods, the loss, the overall loss, is less. So I'm not saying that you should sort of come up with new contracts each year, because I understand it's a lot of work. But the idea is that you should sort of balance all the work that you have when you do it very regularly against the extra benefits you have in terms of profiting from the development, the market, in terms of the market getting more and more sustainable. I think about development in terms of transport, transition from using driven transport to electricity driven transport. That was